biggest stories, the best names, and all the big breaking news. The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
It is Tuesday, June 28th. Welcome inside the Sportsnet 960 Downtown Studio. My name is Will Nault, alongside my co-host Logan Gordon. Lots to do this afternoon. We got a fun show lined up for you. We're all over the map today, and also play a little fun game later on this hour called What If? Leave some of your feedback on that as well. 960-960. As we're almost into the fun portion of the offseason, Logo, where that is where we speculate on everything and maybe start to break down some potential personnel decisions across the NHL. And, of course, that's where fans love to get involved. That's the part that we love as sports fans, to look at personnel changes, look at how different this team could be if you're the Calgary Flames. And we'll do a little bit of that coming up later on this hour. First of all, how are you, sir?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I am excellent, and hopefully the sun will come back out. It's a bit cloudy here in downtown Calgary, but no rain, I don't think, expected in the forecast today. So that is all good. We're inching closer to a long weekend, and a reminder that we've got Blue Jays baseball on your radio tonight. The Blue Jays will play game two of the three-game set against Boston from the Rogers Centre. Michael Wacha on the mound for the Red Sox against Ross Stripling. And the Blue Jays, again, 5:07 first pitch in that game. We'll have it here for you on Sportsnet 960. You can also watch it this evening on Sportsnet. Logan and I will play What If along with you later on this hour. But right now, let's bring in our NHL and Flames analyst, Peter Labardius, who's joining us every single day for the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference, now offering air miles, reward miles. You can check them out online at GeminiGroup.ca. Lou, hope you're doing fantastic. Let's dive in first on the Memorial Cup. We have not talked about it all this week. Didn't talk about it yesterday, but the semifinal took place yesterday. Hamilton winning in overtime over Shawinigan. Jan Misak scoring the game winner for the Bulldogs. And I understand you caught all of that game. What did you make of last night's semifinal at the Memorial Cup in St. John?
It was a really, really good hockey game. I've seen, I want to say, four of the games that have been played. Because of the softball, I didn't see a couple of the games. But I thought last night was just, it was incredibly competitive. You know, Hamilton had to come back from a couple of deficits. They tied the game in the third. There were a couple of controversial moments in the game. And the son of Steve Staios, Nathan, who's a very fine puck-moving defenseman, made a nice play to walk the line and threw it towards the net. And the two-time Czech Republic junior member had a pretty redirection to beat the goaltender Coulombe. And, you know, my comment, not just on last night, but as we were also chatting off the air, is it's been an unbelievably competitive tournament. The scores reflect it. And in this case, the scores properly reflect it. It's virtually been nothing
right. But
one goal games the whole time. And I think we'll probably get another one on Wednesday.
Yeah, and as you've said, you've called your fair share of these tournaments. You've been at them in person, of course. You can probably, you know, you need more than just your hands and feet to count how many you've been at, Lou. But, you know,
I do actually, yes.
Every once in a while, you do have a 7-1 or 6-1 game. It happens, and you're right. This has been one of those tournaments where not only has it been even in terms of what the score is, but it's not like we're talking about a goalie standing on his head to make that score flattering for one team. It's been a legit four kind of, you know, heavyweights going at it, and unfortunately, the Western League, on the short end of that stick, they didn't get to play that extra game or play a fourth game, but it's not like they weren't deserving to be there. It was a darn good tournament.
And here's the fascinating thing about it. Under the tournament format forever, prior to this year, when they changed it,
you would have had your tiebreaker.
Win, they would have been in a tiebreaker.
Crazy.
Because they had the same record as Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was they ended up winning their game in overtime, and Hamilton, who needed to beat them, talking about Edmonton, did in regulation by a goal. So that was the separator, and that right there, I'm glad you went down that road. That's how close it's been. And you think about, you know, for me, the other key moment in this tournament so far is the host St. John, who was down 3-0 against their league rival in the final game of the round robin. And then William Dufour, the Islander draft pick,
who's had a fabulous tournament. He's had a fabulous tournament.
Oh, it'll be interesting. He was at camp for Canada's World Junior Team last December in our fine city. The only thing I haven't seen yet about what Hockey Canada has planned or what they're going to do is we've seen Canada's hopeful roster and camp roster for 2023, but we haven't seen anything yet, at least I haven't, for what's going to happen in August, you know, in the rerun of what got started in its normal time at Christmas before COVID shut it down. So I wonder if Dufour, because there might be some spots open, you know, maybe he gets himself in the mix. And as for a guy who was already there, and I'm sure the Dallas first rounder will be there again, I also mentioned this to you off the air, and for those people who didn't watch the game last night, it has been a while at an event or at the end of any kind of season where I have seen a young player as gutted as Shawinigan captain Maverick Bourque. The poor guy was, and he's the captain of the team, absolutely inconsolable, which was hard to watch, but I never have an issue.
Do you think Jim Nill had a problem with that?
If Jim Nill thinks the way I do, he would love it.
Yep.
If you're Team Canada, you love it. You don't feel that way in life about anything, I don't think, unless you are unbelievably invested. Now, that's not to suggest that people, you don't have to show your emotions outwardly to care a lot. So I'm not saying that those always go hand in hand.
Yeah.
But when it's at that level, you can't get to that place without, you know. And the other part about it is I might think differently if he wasn't the type of performer that he is and he wasn't the captain of his team.
Mm-hmm.
So when that season in his junior career, because you have to remember that too, that, you know, I've seen a lot of even 20-year-olds over the years. In fact, it's hard to watch when they know it's done. But in this case, this guy is too good to play as a 20-year-old in the queue. You're not going back. He's done. So he's going to be in the American League, I'm going to guess, next year.
Might even play in the NHL at some time.
Yeah. So anyway, it was an observation, and Shawinigan had just a marvelous year. And I don't know if any of our listeners or even yourself, Mr. Nall, will ever get a chance. If you ever get a chance to go to a junior hockey game in Shawinigan, don't miss out.
It's
special
quite,
place.
Quite an
special
event,
special place
it?
To watch a game.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Peter Lombardi is with us. I was going to do it right now, but we'll save it for tomorrow, Lou, because it will be, of course, the Memorial Cup final tomorrow. Host St. John against Hamilton. We'll do your. We didn't do it last week. We'll do it tomorrow. Your story about the man behind the bench for St. John. We'll kind of dive into that a little bit tomorrow.
Oh yeah, we haven't gotten to the mad scientist.
So we'll do that tomorrow and getting you set for the Memorial Cup final, Hamilton and St. John.
Let's not forget that one.
No, I'll have that in my notebook for tomorrow as we get set for the final in that tournament, the first time it's been played since 2019, and what a show it's been in St. John. Let's move away from junior hockey, and of course now we are inching closer. NHL draft will be next Thursday, and we'll talk more about the draft as we get closer on this radio station. But and by the way, we'll have full coverage of the NHL draft for you here on Sportsnet 960, like we always do. But Lou, wanted to talk a little bit. We chimed, Logan and I kind of kicked this around yesterday, and I know that we've talked to you about this in the past. But you look at those two Stanley Cup finalists; neither team going to look the same in October of next year, because there's a lot of UFAs on both sides, and quite frankly, both teams facing salary cap issues, and that usually happens when you're a very good team. Now, the Avalanche, certainly with some more wiggle room than a team like Tampa, but you know, we've seen this before with teams that are, or players that have had good playoff runs and have been good playoff performers. They cash in elsewhere, but maybe aren't able to live up to that hype. But I don't think that's going to be the case for Andre Palat. But when you look at that UFA market, Lou, where does he kind of fit in for you? Because it feels like no matter what Julien Brisebois is going to do, and he's a master at it, but it does feel like maybe the time has come to an end for Palat in Tampa. And I would think, just based on his numbers come playoff time, that he will be a highly sought-after free agent in about 2 weeks here.
He will, and he is one of those players that fits in this category for me. So what are you prepared to pay a player, depending on the team that he is with, in regards to your expectations for him? I see him more elevated in terms of offensive, you know, abilities, Will.
Right.
But I see him somewhat Blake Coleman-like.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is, you know, if you're expecting Palat to join a new team, and it will obviously depend on who it is, and he'd look great in Calgary, by the way. If you think about Blake, you can't necessarily expect even Palat, like Palat will score 20, I think, next year.
But and it, it's good. It's good that you...
somebody, and for how long?
Yeah.
In regards to the value, would be different for me depending on the type of team, because he's got. He has more, let's put it this way, he would have more value to an Edmonton or a St. Louis or, you know, the New York Rangers or somebody. Now, the Flames situation, you know, and we've got to get to this, and maybe we'll do that tomorrow before the week runs out on us here. But, you know, let's say that Johnny, they find a way with Johnny. Well, you know, even if they didn't, Palat would be a very, like, then he would become even more enticing in his own reason. But I think you know where I'm trying to go. I don't see him as what I would necessarily want in Arizona.
Right.
But if I could grab him in Calgary or St. Louis or Pittsburgh or, you know, places that are on the precipice and need another piece of guys who understand exactly what it takes to win and how you get there. Like, in fact, you know, I didn't know exactly we were going down the Palat road, and I'm sure glad you did. He would be really, like, I'd have Blake Coleman on the phone a lot if it comes to that.
Yeah, making that call, and I love that you brought it up. I mean, this is a guy, I think maybe some people would forget, Lou, but he hasn't scored 20 since he was a rookie in the league. Now,
no, I know.
You know, he's missed some time over the years with injuries, and if you look at his numbers and you were to, you know, equal those or even those over 82, we would have more than one 20-goal season. But, yeah, a guy that regularly scores 16, 17, 18, puts up about 50 points, 100%.
Yes.
And then come playoff time, he is super, super valuable to your group. And obviously now with, you know, you look at what he's done the last couple of years. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's played over 70 playoff games the last three seasons. So, yeah, you'd be getting a great addition. And I love the teams that you put in there because that's kind of the window you look at. And, you know, certainly going to be a highly,
you know, Los
highly
Angeles
sought-after guy.
Would be another team.
Yep.
100%. You know, there's lots of them, but I think you know exactly where I was going, and it's true.
That similar role, yeah.
Yeah, and in Calgary's case, in all sincerity, he would be very high at the absolute top of my list if Johnny Gaudreau wasn't going to be back. And that doesn't mean that he would necessarily go right in that spot.
Yeah, you talk about expectations. That's not a replacement for Johnny Gaudreau.
No. Well, nobody's... No. Listen, I think no matter what happens with Johnny, whether he comes back or whether he ends up in now Pittsburgh, as you told me before we got rolling, has been talked about, obviously Philadelphia, obviously New Jersey has been talked about a lot. for Johnny. But he's probably not going to get 115 next year either.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it always boils down to one thing for me. Maybe two, because I do completely understand the value that you have to get there first. But you want to get something done, too.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I thought he had a good playoff. I really did. I'm not saying that because he didn't. I think he did. And it's kind of unfortunate that he's going to leave potentially at a time where I've never thought he's been better.
Yeah.
Fabulous in these playoffs. I was not saying that for a couple of years.
No. Fabulous in these playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was marvelous this year, and he changed his game, and he's far more responsible without it and dug in without it. And, you know, he's never going to be the world's greatest checker, but at some point, if he goes in a different way, then you've got decisions to make. But in saying that, you have more money to play with, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I love this discussion about Palat. You have to be careful, though, at his age.
Yeah, and you, as you say, you got to be the right team to, you know, you got to get there to see that full value. You got to be the right team to put him in the right spot. You can't ask him to do too much than maybe what he's been used to. And sometimes I think we can run into a little bit of that danger. On the other side, obviously the two that jump out, Lou, and I think you can maybe even throw the goaltender in there if you want to make it three. I know that the goaltender in Colorado has been linked to teams like Edmonton, who could be looking for that next long-term type solution, especially with some of the retirement questions rising and looming mm-hmm. around the situation with Mike Smith. But what about
the fact that Stuart Skinner probably
would love to have a mentor there. You don't want too much on Skinner. Yeah, no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. What's your gut tell you in terms of Kadri and Nikushkin? Because I think, again, almost similar to Palat, Lou, he had a fabulous year, but you want to make sure that if you're Nazem Kadri and his camp, you want to be put yourself in a great spot too.
Well, I mean, I don't know him well enough to know exactly how this is going to impact him, but he's never had higher values. But he has a decision to make. And I don't think, you know, Nazem is going to put himself in a situation. Now, I talked about Palat being very high on my list for Calgary. The other guy would be the highest guy on my list. And it's not Kadri.
It's Nikushkin.
Yeah. Yes. Right age, you know,
Big body.
Strength, speed.
Yep.
You know, and the other thing about Calgary, which obviously is how we like to tailor all our conversations about the Flames, is, you know, in terms of you really have to think, and obviously they do, and, you know, whether it's Brad for absolute sure and Daryl for absolute sure, remember what you're dealing with. And when I say what you're dealing with the Edmonton Oilers, and you're going to deal with an improving Vancouver Canucks, and you're going to deal with a better Vegas Golden Knights.
And probably even a better LA Kings.
Yes, and a better LA Kings. So again, you know, and it's hard for me not to always start up without going straight up the highway.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot to deal with there. So when you continue to build your team and you want to be successful in the playoffs, well, you're probably going through them.
At some point,
And we know what that means in terms of who you have to stop and deal with. So, you know, we didn't necessarily talk before going there, and we're talking a lot about forwards. But the real discussion, potentially for me, depending on how things work themselves out, if you're Calgary and you have money to spend, is the first place to spend it on your top four on defense?
Yeah, probably.
Well, and I think the big judgment you have to make is, do you need to?
Yeah.
And I think you do.
I do too.
I think you need one more piece there.
I think that showed itself in the playoffs, for sure.
Well,
I mean, it didn't help that you lost one, but yeah, I think that showed itself.
Well, I mean, would it have been different with Chris? Than Chris healthy? It would have been available even if he was available for game one?
Yeah, it would Absolutely. Have been different, but there's still, yeah, as you say, no guarantees of series success, too.
Well, and along the same lines of the rest of the conversation, because it's really important.
Slotting.
You still have to stop the guys up the highway.
Yeah. For sure you
That's
do.
That's not stopping anytime soon. So, yeah, it's, you know, and I mean, that's what makes this time of the year fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll, you know, today is what, Tuesday?
Yep.
So we'll spend the next 2 days in part, you know, looking even deeper into who's available. You know, we've started obviously today to hit some of the top guys up front. But, you know, maybe tomorrow we'll dig into who are some of the potential guys that might fit Calgary if that's how they go on the back.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating what happens in the next handful of days here. And again, we'll have time, I think, to discuss this the next couple of days before we go our separate ways for the summer here, Lou, in terms of these daily hits. But
yes,
what's your gut tell you now as we sit here June 28th? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious as these days go on, I think the less and less confident you are that number 13, Johnny Gaudreau and the Calgary Flames will find that mutual ground. But what about you? Where are you at in terms of that whole situation? Because it does feel more and more like, at the very least, we're going to get a guy who's prepared to test the market.
I don't even know that it couldn't even potentially be, you know, a Stamkos kind of scenario.
Yep.
Where it doesn't get done by July 7th.
And that guy goes and, you know, peeks his head out and sees what's going on.
Peeks his head out a little bit, takes a peek. Johnny's got a really hard decision to make. That's why it's not done.
Yep.
That's what it is. I you know, and again, that's not any extra intel. I have some intel and some good intel from some pretty key places. On our show a few weeks ago, I kind of set my own deadline of June 20th, if it was to get done. No necessarily reason for that. I just thought it was probably the right amount of time between the end of the season, you know, to give Johnny some time to breathe after a long season and enjoy himself a little bit before you get to business. Because, you know, everybody, I think, needs that. You know, if you're a GM or on that side of it, you know, hockey now is pretty much 363 weeks of the year. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. You might get 2 weeks in August. And that's debatable. And this year that's gone too because of the Hlinka and the World Junior.
Yeah.
So, no, you will have 2 weeks this year. You know when you'll have 2 weeks potentially? Between August 20th and September 12th, kind of. Like the New York Islanders, I believe, released their preseason schedule today. It just came on my phone as we were doing this. But if you took a look at that date, then you know exactly when camps are going to start and when the preseason is going to start. But you know what I'm saying? Like there's no time.
No. No, because everything's been bumped back, of course, and,
yes.
You know, I think next season will be the first one in, what, 4 years where things are really back to the NHL's calendar.
As close as it can get.
Yeah, I think opening night is what I hear is going to be that Wednesday, October 5th, so you're kind of right back to where, you know, you want to be if you're the NHL, which allows you to be done in the early parts of August, and, you know, away we go. So, it's going to be...
I know in the case of the Flames that, you know, they're going to go to Penticton to the rookie camp. The dates I've seen there is the 16th to 19th of September. So if the 19th, and you could tell me, because potentially you have a calendar handy and I'm on
a phone. I do.
And I knew you would, as we wrap things up for today, that depending on what days of the week those are, what day of the week is September 19th?
Monday.
It's a Monday, okay? So NHL training camp will begin with physicals on that Thursday. I'm going to guess that is main camp day that Thursday.
Yeah, you might be a week.
They will be into the preseason either.
Yeah, you might be a week ahead of yourself.
Or the 27th.
Yeah, I think you're a week behind, I think, Lou, because I think Penticton's 9th to the 11th or 12th, so the weekend before that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's where we're at.
I thought I saw the other day when I re-looked it up that I thought I saw 16 to 19, but I could be wrong.
I think it's the week in front there, so everything would be bumped up.
Okay, well then camp will start.
Especially, because I was going to say, October 5th, opening night, so you're going to have more than, 10 days of preseason hockey. So, yeah, right. I think...
Well, if you, like I said...
Yeah, I think...
We could answer the question really simply, yeah, and you guys could potentially get into it a little bit later.
But yeah.
Wherever you see today that New York Islander preseason starting, you know camp is 3 days before that.
Right. Yeah, so I would guess that it starts the week before the one that you you just had mentioned. Right. So
maybe I'm just hopeful because the other way would have bought me another week.
Yep. You might be right, because now that I'm looking at it here, I just pulled up the Islanders' schedule. 26th is their beginning. So opening night of the season will not be the 5th. I was incorrect. It'll be the week after the 12th. So you were bang on, Lou. I never should have questioned you because you're always on top of it.
I'm okay with dates most of the time.
So yeah, Thursday the 22nd. So Penticton is that 16th to 19th weekend.
Right.
And then, yes, the 22nd will be physicals, as you mentioned. And then the opening night of the season will be October 12th, so the following Wednesday.
Yes.
I was the one who was off by a week because, yes, the Islanders' schedule wraps up Saturday the 8th. So, yeah, the following Wednesday the 12th would be the opening night of the season. So, yeah, there you go.
Well, this has been fun, my friend, as always.
As we break down a calendar.
Really good places, yeah, as we generally do, and you have yourself an outstanding afternoon.
I know you got to run, Lou, so we thank you for your time. We will talk to you tomorrow, pal. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Peter Labardius for the Gemini Group Home Renovations. We'll continue on that conversation about the Flames and where things are at because, again, we are 3 days away from Canada Day, which is on Friday. The draft is next Thursday. We're going to have more, obviously, the rest of this week and next week to discuss even further, but I would think it's pretty safe to assume at this point that Johnny Gaudreau is at least going to test the market. Doesn't guarantee he isn't back in Calgary, but it certainly feels like a situation where we're getting a guy that's ready to test the market. And as Lou just talked about, I'm not sure you can really blame him with how big this decision ultimately is. He's Logan. I'm Will. This is The Big Show. Hour one is underway. Don't forget you can find The Big Show wherever you get your podcast: Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Subscribe right now. Never miss a moment or a guest. We'll continue on the Gaudreau and Flames train around the corner and play a little game of what if. That's all as we continue in hour one. Big Show is live on your Tuesday. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Is The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. Hour one rolls on live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. My name is Will Nault alongside Logan Gordon. Aaron Howell is our producer today and usually every day. Sometimes he decides that he doesn't want to work, but he's here today.
Full of holidays and paid vacation.
Great to see you as always, Aaron. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wouldn't miss it for a couple
days. That's a lie.
Yeah, you missed it.
Any
last
chance
week?
You get to miss it, you take that opportunity.
Pretty sure
and
you
I really
here.
wouldn't blame you for it. Looking to you, the listener, to get involved in this segment, 960-960. We're going to play a little game of what if. And right now, first of all, before we get into what if, Let's bring you up to speed. If you missed it this morning, Frank Saravalli, of course, is a guest every Tuesday on Boomer in the Morning, and which means he was on today and earlier today, gave his update and where he sees things on June 28th with Johnny Gaudreau and the Calgary Flames.
Probably the easiest way to explain it or frame it, like, because the Flames have the ability with the eighth year, they're not going to be outbid. Like, it's difficult to give Johnny Gaudreau more money on the open market than he could get in Calgary. That's the baked-in advantage of your player. You know, the math is very simple. Yeah. You know, 8 times 10, $80 million. To get there on 7 years, which is the max anyone else could offer him, it's 11.4 per year. That's a significant jump. So it's not about the money. I don't think it ever really has been about the money. And I think they've made their pitch saying, you know us, you know what our team's about, what we're building, where we're trying to get to. You're a huge part of it. Do you want your jersey here in the rafters someday, you know, at the Dome or wherever they're playing by the time his career wraps up? Hopefully a new arena. And do you want to finish your career in Calgary? Like, do you want to be here? And that's the pitch they've made. Like, we want you. We'll move heaven and earth to keep you. But to this point, and it's been a while, because it feels like it's been a long time since the Flames played, 5-6 weeks, that they've made their pitch, they've made their play, and they're waiting on an answer. And the question is, are we getting married or not? Yeah. Like, that's it. And at a certain point, when you don't get an answer, I feel like you begin to know what the answer is. And that's the uneasy feeling that the Calgary Flames are feeling right at this moment, the sort of pinch between your shoulder blades of, man, is this really not happening?
And it kind of feels like that, because here we are, June 28th. We're a few days away from the opening of the legal tampering period. We're almost at the draft. And as we've talked about even a little bit yesterday, Logan, it feels like if you don't have an answer by this weekend, you can probably assume where it's going to go. And that's pretty much where things are at right now. I can't imagine that the confidence is very high inside Brad Treliving's office and in the meeting rooms that they're in right now, that they're expecting him to be back here next year. Now, things can always change. And as we talked about with Lou in the last segment, you can allow a player to go to market, see if the grass is greener, and then circle back. We've seen that before. Steven Stamkos is the one that Lou brought up. I think it's the one that comes to mind for a lot of people. Remember, he took that meeting. Was it the president of Canadian Tire? Was also involved in that meeting with the Maple Leafs, and you know, all sorts of endorsement deals potentially lined up there. But ultimately, he goes back to Tampa. So it can happen. But it does feel like the fact that we are here on June 28th, and as Frank just said, you're waiting to hear if we're getting married or not. It really sounds like there isn't an answer coming. I think you start to, you know, I think it's only natural you start to think about what's next, and as we're about to play the what-if game, what if, right?
Well, yeah, I think Frank put it perfectly in that no answer is kind of your answer right now, and if you're the Calgary Flames, as much as you might not like the answer, the whole conversation that we've been having is, you probably know, or you probably get the feeling that maybe it's not going to be the answer you want, but it's sort of the answer you need as everything starts to happen over the next couple of weeks, because like we've talked about, you can't be the guy left at the dance without a partner in all of this. Not when you hold the top chip in the free agent game, you can't be the one that gets left with nothing. So you have to, and again, even, you know, I always go back to it, and I think it is important in all of this context, because I think it is true. I think just because Johnny says or might say to the team, look, I'm going to test the market, I really don't think that closes the door here. To me, all that does is close the eighth year option off. I think there's every sort of possibility that the Flames would still openly welcome Johnny Gaudreau back on a 7-year deal if he didn't find a suitable option out there in free agency. I have no doubt about that, but that also changes things from Calgary's perspective once again in terms of what that deal looks like, how much it counts against the salary cap, all of that. And there is still you know, the odds change of, look, once he gets to free agency, most of those guys, you know, with all due respect to the Steven Stamkos example that we talked about, most guys don't do it like Stamkos did and wind up back in Tampa Bay. Once you've taken that leap, I think it's hard to go back because you're sort of admitting that this was always your second option. This was your fallback, right? Hey, I went out to free agency and I talked to five teams and turns out none of them wanted to pay me what I liked or none of them were in a suitable scenario that I thought was going to work for me and my family. I'd love to come back to Calgary. That's not always the funnest conversation to have. Is it still entirely possible that it happens? Yeah, sure it is.
Right.
But still, you know, and I've maintained this over the last couple of weeks, the business that Brad Treliving needs to get done outside of Johnny Gaudreau with RFAs, UFAs, and other questions about how to improve this roster from what it was last year, to me, has to start at the NHL draft. So you're really counting down the days until you need a firm answer one way or the other.
Couple of texts and fan feedback thoughts at 960-960. The extra year afforded teams to help them retain their own UFAs, which makes great sense. What doesn't make a lot of sense is that once other teams can actually negotiate with the player, they lose that option. In the last few years, when the legal tampering week was allowed prior to July 1st, this at least gave the player a chance to provide their rights or protect their rights, I think it's supposed to say, not provide, holding them their offers they had with an option to march or top up. I don't, the last part of that doesn't really make sense. But you're not, again, if you're waiting for that final few days and you're still, like, I think at this point, the eighth year, like, for Johnny Gaudreau, and we've said this the whole time, and I think this texter is trying to get at this point, so if I'm mistaken, please let me know. But it feels like, right now, for Johnny Gaudreau, and we've said this a lot, Logan, it doesn't feel like it's about money. Because Calgary's not lowballing him. Nobody said that. Frank hasn't said that.
Frank literally just said in that clip that no one is going to outbid the Calgary Flames for him.
They haven't lowballed him. It's not for Johnny Gaudreau, and this is what I've come down on the whole time. It's not about money for him. It really isn't. Because he knows that Calgary is going to be able to offer him the richest contract, especially with the salary cap being where it is because of COVID and not jumping multiple millions every year. The most money he's going to get on a total dollar contract is in Calgary. So Johnny Gaudreau knows that. His camp knows that. For me, for Johnny Gaudreau, it comes down to, do you want to be in Calgary? Or with a pregnant wife and a newborn on the way, do you want to be closer to your extended family? And I think that's why this has been such a long and hard decision for Johnny. But again, as we sit here on June 28th, it feels like he is at least going to go out and see what's out there for him that potentially could land him closer to home. It's never been about money for me, and I think it's always been about his desire to be in the Northeast United States.
Well, and this one too, this is the most common pushback that I've gotten on social media and on the text line about this is, and this text is, why would he sign now and not wait till 25 hours before free agency? Wouldn't be the first player to wait. Landeskog just did it last year. Latrice sweat it out, maybe add on the dollar amount. No guarantee he's going to test the market yet. Why would he sign it now? Because the Flames have probably made their best offer by now. I don't think the Flames are in a position to lose Johnny Gaudreau for nothing, to not have put their best foot out for him yet. Like, am I crazy on that? Oh, Why would they wait until 25 hours before?
The Flames' best offer's been out there.
It's not going to jump $3 million on July 12th.
I was just going to say, as we've just talked about, Johnny Gaudreau's not waiting for the next $2 million. It's not about money. It's not. I'm sorry. They've made a fair offer, and Johnny Gaudreau's camp, right? It's not about money. You're going to wait till July. It's not going to change Johnny Gaudreau's mind because you offer him $5 million more. I truly don't believe that. And look, that's their opinion. I'm not going to say that their opinion's wrong. I disagree with it. I think that nothing's going to change here in the next 10 days.
I don't think the offer gets dramatically better between now and the end of the Flames have nothing to gain by that. Look at all the other things they have to do this offseason. I went through it yesterday with Tkachuk, Shillington, Mangiapane, the free agents, all of it, and still trying to improve again what was your roster last year. Don't you think you would love to have that number set in place and done already so that you can plan out the money for Matthew Tkachuk and everybody else? I think you'd love to. I have not heard one good argument as to why the Calgary Flames would want this, would wait for this to suddenly up their offer. I think as soon, and every insider that we've heard from, whether it's Friedman or Dreger or Saravelli, everybody said it was a full court press as soon as the season
for
ended.
For sure, for sure. Because again, you want that answer.
Exactly. I don't think Gaudreau's camp is...
And like you've just talked about, we've talked about this a lot, I think Calgary would like to make a couple of moves at the draft, so they're not going to wait to offer Johnny Gaudreau more money on July 12th. They're looking to make moves on July 7th, in my opinion.
Well, I would think so. I don't think you want to give away two of the best negotiating days that you have with other GMs for nothing. Right, and look at, and we talked about this yesterday. When has Brad Treliving done some of his best moves at the draft? The in-person drafts, I should say. The last 2 years have been difficult because it's the same as any other phone call that you make during the year. It's not any different. It's just the same. But I think that, you know, I think given what we've seen from Brad at these drafts before, an in-person face-to-face conversation, he's been able to get a lot done.
A couple more at 960-960. Gents, just a discussion point. If Gaudreau is not signed the day before the draft, would you trade his rights at the draft to get an asset? You're not going to get much in an asset, to be honest with you. I mean, you can entertain it for sure, but at this point, I think we all know the three or four teams that are invested or interested in Johnny Gaudreau are certainly where he's interested in signing. I'm not sure you're getting a lot at the draft for his rights. Especially with the tampering window, trades for signing rights is not really all that lucrative. So I don't think that it will be something that we see, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, maybe somebody ponies up something higher than usual because Johnny Gaudreau is coming off such a great season and would love that head start. But yeah, generally it's not much in return for that extra couple of days.
If you were Johnny, wouldn't you be curious to see who's interested? 100%. I've said that all along. I think, you know, if you're a player like Johnny Gaudreau, you get one chance at this in your career. Of course, there's.
You said that a month ago.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter how much. And this is again. No, this is not to say that Johnny Gaudreau hates Calgary. In fact, I do think he likes it here. I just think that there is part now with a newborn on the way. The amount of time that he'll be on the road. It's probably easier to be closer to both sets of grandparents. I really think that that's a big part of this because at the end of the day, we do forget that these guys are humans and there's more to their life than just hockey, even though they're very good at it.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, from a strictly parental side of things, you know, your new wife that you just got married to last summer, you're traveling a good amount of the year. Would it not be nice to have some parental support for when taking care of a child? You know, I know we never get into that, and some people that don't want to hear that, but that's, I think, 100% true. You know, put yourself in those shoes as a mother at home. You know, you'd love to have mom or dad or grandma and grandpa around to help you with the little one, especially if it's your first kid, right? I think it's an absolutely huge factor to all of this.
Maybe Johnny's agent is doing a due diligence with other teams in the league right now, seeing if there's 3, 5, or 10 other options. Johnny's team is in no rush, and I don't think they are either. Johnny's probably, again, he knows what Calgary's offer is. He knows what that pitch looks like. He knows the Flames very, very well, obviously, from his entire time here. And trust me, there's going to be lots of other options for him on the open market. We'll wait and see where he ends up. More at 960-960. Any chance the deal is done and Treliving and Johnny are messing with the rest of the teams right now? That's from Trevor. I mean, sure, but...
Somehow it was done and nobody knew about it except for those two...
It would be interesting.
There are... Look,
what are you doing by not announcing it? You're not...
You're just pulling the Lou Lamoriello at the end of every summer where you've signed six veterans and you just haven't decided to submit any of the paperwork? And I mean, really, let's be honest. What do guys like Sarah Valley and Friedman or whoever, Bob, like who do they miss? They've just been done and they somehow don't. Everything gets out nowadays. Yeah, as hard as you try.
That's true. Certainly, everything definitely gets out at some point. Gaudreau was difficult his last contract. Not going to be any different this contract. Well, I would say there's differences there. I mean, he was an RFA last time. He definitely
with no arb rights
and no timeline to sign.
I think it's entirely different from a leverage point of view.
Yeah, it's a little bit different for sure. 960-960. How choked would you be if Johnny signed for $12.5 million with Arizona? It would certainly be a curveball. It would be a massive curveball for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I
don't think that's happening.
First of all, I wouldn't be choked. He's welcome to sign anywhere he likes.
Would be a curveball though.
But does he want to go to potentially the worst team in the league next year and play in a college stadium for four more seasons? That's actually no closer to any of his family.
So there's some of the thoughts at 960-960. We'll continue and we'll play the what if game next, because now the question, of course, is the Calgary Flames and how things are. I mean, I think it's time to play the game, and I'd love to get your thoughts as well at 960-960. For the sake of this conversation, we'll say the Flames don't re-sign Johnny Gaudreau. We'll see what if around the corner as we roll into hour number two. That'll do it for hour one. Don't forget, you can find The Big Show wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Subscribe now. Never miss a moment or a guest. We'll play what if on both sides. What if Johnny stays, and what if Johnny grows? All that and more as we continue into hour two. Around the corner, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.